You're listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, Around Atlanta Edition, showcasing the best of Metro Atlanta, our communities, the attractions, and the special events that make Atlanta great. Welcome to our virtual town square. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Around Atlanta Edition. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. This is the couple of shows that we've been looking forward to. We've been doing this show, what, how long? Seven and a half years. And we've never had the High Museum of Art on the show.
That's why we're having to do two.
We're going to be doing two segments with them, two very important things we have to discuss around the High. But today we're going to talk about one. But we're joined today by Julia Forbes. She is the head of museum interpretation with the High Museum of Art. Julia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We're grateful to have you on the show. We really have been looking forward to having the museum on the show. It's one of Atlanta's great treasures, and so we're excited to be able to share this with our audience. Before we get into some cool stuff happening at the High, take a quick second. Tell us a bit about you and your background.
Well, I feel like I have the best job at the museum, to be honest. I'm sure other people would disagree, but my job is in our education department, where I head up our interpretation department. And while it sounds a little lofty, it's all about our visitors. It really means it's my job to advocate for the people who come to the museum, no matter how old they are, and make sure that when they come, they have an amazing experience. So whether they read a label or take a guided tour or visit one of the spaces that are interactive, or use an audio guide, or watch a film, how can I make sure that people make personal meaning and really have a meaningful experience at the museum? It's an amazing job. So I work on everything we do.
That's super cool.
You know, I go to these museums, and you see people looking at a piece of art, and they're staring at it for what seems to me like an hour. Can you share, you open this door, I'm going to go there real quick. So give some quick advice to someone who's not an experienced museum visitor. How can they look at a piece of art? What should they do to begin to really appreciate it?
It's such a great question, because there's a lot of studies in our field that say people who are unfamiliar might spend 5 seconds looking at a work of art. And I know if you're that person and you see the person standing there staring for what feels like an hour, you're like, what am I supposed to be thinking?
Yeah, what am I supposed to be doing?
And really, the work I do is all about that. So thank you for asking me that question. But the label, we try to provide in the label some things to help you look for, to help you slow down. But honestly, if you just start looking at the work yourself, you don't have any questions, any museum, anywhere in the world, you stand in front of it, just look for a minute. Look at all the edges, look in the center, and see what appeals to you. Where does your eye go? Is it about color? Is it about the shape? Are you curious about the face, if it's a portrait? If it's a landscape, does the sunset interest you? And how do you relate to that? Does it make you feel happy? Does it make you feel sad? Does it make you ask a question? If you're with people, start talking about it together, because art should be shared. So if you're not alone, to be able to have a conversation, wow, I love the way the sun is setting. It reminds us of a vacation that we took in this island or whenever. Oh, right, that's a great moment. Wow, the artist chose this interesting red. Just let it go. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It's about the experience and how it makes you feel. That's really what art is about.
Brilliant.
Absolutely great. It's your relationship with that piece.
Exactly.
So you're going to relate to it different than someone else.
Than anybody else. And that is all great.
So Todd mentioned that, you know, the High Museum of Art is an Atlanta treasure. So for our, you know, listeners who may not know, and I can't imagine anyone who doesn't know about the High Museum of Art, give us the overview. What is the High Museum?
You know, it really is an Atlanta treasure. And it's been in the community since the early 1900s. And we started really with the home of an Atlanta citizen, this amazing Hattie High. People ask me all the time, the High Museum of Art? Well, it's someone's name. You know, Hattie High was an amazing and generous person who gave her home to start the museum. And there are lots of people who still remember as little children going to Mrs. High's house to take art classes. So that's a great history for us.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
And now it's grown into these two architectural masterpieces, one by Richard Meyer and one by Renzo Piano. And we've got all this amazing space and a collection that we've just reinstalled. So it looks spectacular. We have over 1,400 works of art on view. And that's very special for Atlanta. These are treasures we should be proud of. And citizens should feel like, gosh, one of the first things I want to do when people come to see me and visit me in this great city is bring them to their museum. And if they can start thinking of it as their museum and get excited about works of art that are meaningful to them, I think that's really going to matter for our community.
Well, if I'm being perfectly honest, certainly seeing the artwork and the treasures inside on exhibition is certainly amazing. I love just being in the building. Mm-hmm. It is an architectural gem.
Those are two great works of art in Atlanta, those two architectural buildings.
Yeah. Great stuff. All right. Well, as I mentioned, you're going to be making a couple of appearances on the show this month, but we're talking about some different things. So today we're really want to tee up this new Phillips Collection exhibition. So gosh, give us the quick overview of what that's all about.
Well, we are so lucky that this has traveled to, we're the only Southeastern venue for this amazing collection of art. And if any of your listeners have been to Washington, D.C., maybe they've gone and visited the Phillips Collection, which is on DuPont Circle and sort of a hidden treasure in Washington, D.C. Everybody's down on the mall at the Smithsonian. But just a little north is this treasure of a home, the home of Duncan Phillips and his wife, Marjorie, and they began collecting art. It's a little bit of a sad story, but turned into this amazing treasure. Duncan Phillips lost his father and his brother, both young, and they had money that they had gathered just through their businesses, and he wanted to invest it in art, and in fact, created the very first modern art museum in the United States in his home in 1921. And that is a place you can still visit today. The home's expanded, and it has more buildings associated with it, but the home is still there. And he collected art that, I mean, it's so interesting. You asked me the question a few minutes ago because he collected things that meant something emotionally to him, made him think about the family relationships. But he wasn't collecting because he wanted to have, honestly, the greatest collection in the world. He wanted to have the collection that meant something to him and his wife, who was an artist and loved to collect as well. So when you see the Van Gogh that they collected or the Matisse or the amazing Georges Braque or the Picassos, I mean, these are all the big names. You'll notice the color palettes of them because he collected colors he loved, right? And you'll notice the types of portraits because he thought portraits said something about people and were really personal. So these are things that matter to him. And it's not an art history story. It's a story about beauty and juxtapositions and why art matters in our lives.
Some of my absolute favorite famous artists. I sit here and I think, you know, watercolors and sunflowers and, you know, the morning on the Grand Lajeat and all. I mean, I just drool. So I don't know. I'm sure those aren't the exact pieces because some of them I've seen in other collections at other museums, but the right artists.
I mean, Degas, Cezanne, Gauguin, Monet, Manet, Matisse, Van Gogh, Picasso. I mean, it's a who's who. I mean, it's just an amazing collection.
It's unbelievable. And when people say, you know, what's the highlight? They're every single one of those 75 works of art is a highlight. Anybody would be thrilled to stand in front of, I mean, the Degas. There's two Degas in the show, but one is quite large and it's close in of the ballet dancers lifting her leg to the bar. I mean, the way Degas draws a line just makes you want to cry. You're like, if I drew that line, it would not be the side of a person's leg.
No. So how long is it on exhibit? How long do we have to get?
Till July 14th. So it's going to go into the summer. And it really, they're magnificent. I mean, I've seen some people in the exhibition, you know, get a little tear. Aww. just to stand in front of those two Van Goghs. I mean, how often do you get to stand in front of two Van Goghs?
Not very often.
Not very often.
Is it just paintings in this collection?
There are also sculptures. I mean, and there's some really wonderful ones. There are Rodins and Giacometti's and Henry Moore's. I mean, it's the big, there's a Picasso sculpture, which is displayed next to a wonderful later painting. And to see the change in his style, because, you know, he went through so many, his career was so long and he experimented so much. And to see an early sculpture next to a late painting and think about his skill set, that allows you to do that in a way that it's hard to experience.
I don't know that a lot of people know that he did sculpt.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're listening today, that's something that you just learned just right there.
Hi, I'm Ty Pennington, and I know buying a home is a major investment. It's important to know the home you buy will be comfortable and energy efficient. That's exactly why Jackson EMC introduced the Right Choice Home Program. These homes are built from the ground up by industry-leading builders and guaranteed to provide both comfort and energy savings. Energy-efficient homes, guaranteed. Ask your Jackson EMC representative for complete warranty terms and conditions.
So talk more about Phillips. I'd love to hear more about this gentleman's story.
Yeah, I mean, what an interesting man. He, not only did he want to share this collection, so he just didn't collect it for himself in his beautiful home on DuPont Circle, but he wanted to open this museum, and he was the director of this place until 1966 when he died. He continued to collect. He ran it. He wanted people to come in and see it, and he would think about the way things went together. So we might say in our business, the juxtaposition of something that no other museum would ever do. So I'm thinking of one right now where there's a Gauguin, an amazing artist, right? This beautiful still life next to a still life by another French artist named Soutine. Well, those guys are probably about 15 to 30 years apart in making art, so no art museum would really put them side by side. But what he wanted to do was say, look at the way the colors relate to one another. Mm-hmm. They're both still lifes, but they painted these 30 years apart. And so what was Gauguin doing that had some resonance with the Soutine? And how can we see just the way they each painted a table is amazing to look at. Gauguin's table is thin and silver and has these wonderful lines that come down to the ground. And Soutine's table is
red. She's making
air
gestures, people. Yeah. I mean, she's describing the stuff with her hands. It's actually fascinating to watch.
Uh-huh. But Soutine's table is thick and red. And just to see those side by side, I mean, those are the juxtapositions that he especially can bring to us that not anyone else would do. It's exciting.
Hmm.
All right, this is not a fair question, but can I put you on the spot and ask what your favorite work is in this collection?
Oh my gosh, that isn't a fair question. It does change a lot, but I think one popped into mind right away. I can see it in my mind's eye right now, this amazing Van Gogh, which is a street scene in France, and there are these huge trees that are lining a boulevard, and the trees are amazing. The way the bark is painted and the black outline of each tree, and then these, and that's full of energy because, you know, his brushwork is just really vibrant and moving and thick. The paint is applied in this wonderful thick way. And then there are these workmen who are just sort of quietly working. They're repairing the road. It's just an everyday scene of a street, but he presents it to us with both sort of energy and this calm quiet. It's really a remarkable painting.
I can't wait to see it. So I've been to many museums, Julia, where the traveling exhibition is the only show you see, is the only thing that's there. But there's quite an impressive permanent collection at the High. Walk us through what we can expect there.
You know, we really are proud of the permanent collection of the High. And it's, as I mentioned a little while ago, there's 1,400 works on view, more than that on view right now. And we collect in a really wide range of areas. So if you're somebody who likes furniture, we have a great decorative arts collection and amazing works that might be used in people's homes. We've got amazing European art, a very important collection of photography that's always changing. And so if that's something that people love, they can see that. Our modern and contemporary work is incredible. In fact, one of the reasons we built the Richard Meyer building, I'm sorry, the Renzo Piano building, that second building we opened in 2005, was to make more room for these grand and large, impressive pieces of contemporary art. And so that's so exciting for people to be able to see. And now we're collecting contemporary design. And so that work is there as well. I really think there's something for everyone at the High. And it's just exciting to come fall in love with a piece that you know you can come back and see and make that personal connection with and be comforted that when you come, you can bring your friends and be like, oh, you've got to come and see this incredible thing. It's on the third floor. I know where it is. I mean, that's special, I think.
I agree. That's what makes me sad about people who don't seem to appreciate these experiences, because you do, and you can develop a personal relationship with a piece of art.
Because every time you see it, right? Every time you see it, it changes. And that's about you and it, right?
It's no different than falling in love with a song.
Right.
Exactly.
It's art, right?
Yes.
It's great, creative stuff.
Any tips on best times to visit?
Well, it probably depends on why you want to come. Mm. So if you really want that contemplative moment with the Phillips collection and you want to be alone with the Van Goghs and the Picassos and the Brocks, visit us on a weekday afternoon, right?
Weekday
it's going
afternoon.
To be quiet. You're going to be able to commune. No one's going to rush you. It's going to be amazing. If you've got your kids and your family and you really want to have a lot of fun, interactive activities, and not only see art, but do things with those little ones, come to Toddler Thursday or Free Second Sunday, right? I mean, that's a perfect time to come. If it's date night, just you and your special significant other, maybe you want to come First Friday where we're spinning some tunes and we've got some bars open, or Jazz Friday when live music is there.
Sold.
I got to make notes now.
Yep. All right. Well, great, great stuff. And as I said, Julia, we're going to have you back on the show in a couple weeks. But before we let you go today, should anyone have any additional questions on the Phillips collection or want to learn more about the museum itself, where do they go?
They should just visit our website, high.org.
All right. Simple enough. Julia Forbes, the head of museum interpretation. Now that I know what that title means, it's wicked cool. I think it is the coolest job in the museum. With the High Museum of Art. Julie, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's Around Atlanta edition. On behalf of my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schnick. It's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you again right here tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by Denim Marketing.
the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denim Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denim Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.